Back together, you and I, on a Tuesday, September 7th, 2021, on Connecticut Today. 3 o'clock hour, we got an update on the process of upgrading and improving Tweed New Haven Airport. The airport's executive director and Democratic state rep, Sean Scanlon, joined us for that. Bottom of the 4 o'clock hour, Republican State House Leader Vin Candelora of North Brantford stopped by. He gave us some information about the every 10-year redistricting process that's about to get underway to redraw and refine the state's five congressional districts, as well as all the legislative state house and state senate districts. As we continue right here on Connecticut Today, right here on WICC 600, on the radio and online at WICC600.com. What is going on with Tweed New Haven Airport? The airport getting closer and closer, a lot of people say, to becoming a far more improved, more modern airport for Fairfield, New Haven County, all of Connecticut, all of Southern Connecticut. We spoke with this gentleman when the wheels got going on this a couple of months ago. He's back to give us a status update. The executive director of Tweed New Haven Airport also serves as a Democratic state rep, Sean Scanlon, joins us again. Sean, Paul here at WICC. How are you?
Good to be back, Paul.
It's been kind of an active few months for you, Sean, and everyone who's been involved with Tweed. Last time we talked, I recall, Sean, there had just been the wraps taken off of this massive expansion, massive modernization, runway plans, and an airline that announced New Haven as one of its bases. Take us from that point to where we are now.
Well, where we've been at is very exciting day-to-day stuff, right? Every single day we're trying to make progress towards the goal of what we announced on May 6th, which was that we were, for the first time in a long time, talking about new air service. That starts on November 3rd. We will be going 4 direct flights a day to Florida with a new air carrier called Avella, which is really, really exciting. And they are, you know, hitting the ground running in New Haven. They're hiring 100 people in the community right now to work there. The flights are up online. They start at $59 a flight. And we're really excited about that. But beyond that, Paul, what we're also doing is we're expanding the actual airport, building a new runway, building a brand new terminal. And those three things combined are what will, at the end of the day, be the biggest single expansion of the airport in our history and something that people have been asking for a very long time.
Now, again, Sean, having grown up in the greater New Haven area, having relatives who lived in that area and still do, I know, and it's not nothing new, but this has been going on for decades. There is concern from the citizenry there. But I guess this is actually going to happen, Sean, the airport expansion and everything, barring a major setback here?
Well, you know, we're going through a process. We have to get different approvals. So far, we've gotten 2 key approvals. We need to get a few more. But I feel really good about the fact that it's going to move forward. And I wouldn't say that it's at their expense, Paul. I would be very clear to your listeners to say that we want to be good neighbors. I want to be a good neighbor. I go out every day and knock on doors in the community to introduce myself. I give out my cell phone number. I tell people if there's a problem, text me, call me. We're really trying to be good community members here. The work we're doing is exciting. I know that it may not always be exciting to people who live directly next to the airport, but I want to make sure that we're being the best neighbor that we can be. Part of that is on May 6th, we announced a $5 million community benefits package to address noise in the neighborhood, traffic in the neighborhood, the environment. That's the first time we've ever done that before. And I think at the end of the day, most people would say that we're trying to be the best neighbors we can be. Not everyone's going to be happy about this, Paul, obviously, but I think most people who live in the neighborhood would tell you that we're at least trying.
Sean Scanlon is the guest. Democratic state rep also doubles as the chairman of Tweed New Haven Airport. Back with more from Sean first. Traffic and weather together on the sixes right here on WICC. And we continue right here on Connecticut Today at WICC 600 on the radio and online at WICC 600. Com. Sean Scanlon, the guest, Democratic state rep from the Shoreline and also chairman of Tweed New Haven Airport, which is on the way. Sean, honestly, I think on the way, if this all comes together the way you folks want it to and Avello wants it to and the planners and the feds, of being, I think, a real alternative here if people, Sean, on certain trips with certain itineraries don't want to go to JFK or to Westchester or to LaGuardia. I think that's going to be an incredible boon for the area.
Yeah, I think so too, right? I mean, these first flights that we've announced through Avello are all leisure-oriented, so Florida, but that's where people want to fly to in the winter, right? They want to go down and see Grandma, Grandpa. They want to go down to Disney with their kids. These are affordable flights at a very, very convenient location here right in New Haven. So for people listening who have never given us a shot, now is the time to do it, right? We offer unrivaled convenience according to any airport, in the area in terms of being able to park your car and literally walk several steps to get to security and onto your plane. That is not something you can do in any of the surrounding airports. So that's number one. But number two, once we get past these original Florida flights, we have every intention of offering more business-oriented flights too. And so that's really, really important, Paul, when you talk about economic development. If we can have a more vibrant airport that you can both do leisure travel with your family and also do business travel when you've got to go out for work, we can really offer a very, very, very long-awaited package of flight options for people that, frankly, we've never had in Greater New Haven and Southern Connecticut. And I think we're really, really close to doing that finally.
And Sean, you mentioned before the break that the airport and obviously the airport authority, the functioning airport itself, you want to be good neighbors. And Sean, I don't know if any airport in the world who would want to expand that does expand without doing the most to mitigate noise and to mitigate traffic and to mitigate the things that come with increased commerce and increased travel. Talk about a few of the things that you alluded to before as to trying to fit in with the neighborhood at the same time being a viable airport as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's about finding that balance, right? This has been a long-awaited project that people have talked about for years and years and years. My family is originally from New Haven. I care deeply about the city. I think that New Haven's success is all of Southern Connecticut's success and, frankly, Connecticut's success. And we have a lot of work to do to get going to meet the moment here in terms of offering more flights. However, I do understand that the people who did buy their house there after there was an airport, like we've been around there for 90 years. So, we've been doing our thing there for quite some time. I do understand that when they see stories about the expansion, they obviously start to think, well, okay, what does this mean for me? And what this means for them now, thanks to the fact that we've, got this community benefits agreement together, is that they will start to see, hopefully, some noise mitigation to the noise. For us, that means trying to help them put new windows in their houses or better AC units so that it's not as loud when the planes go over for that brief period of time when they take off or they land. It means better traffic calming, right? So that all these cars that are going to be coming to the neighborhood for a period of time, that we're doing things to make sure that there's not traffic jams or, God forbid, accidents, by making sure that people are not driving fast, by putting speed bumps in and stop signs and stop lights. All those things are just a few measures that we're taking of many to try and be good neighbors here. And at the end of the day, not everyone will be happy with what we're doing, but I think most people would concede that we're trying to be good neighbors and we're trying to do things to make this a good thing for both of us, for us to do our thing and for them to know that we're not doing it at their expense.
And Sean, Tweed being in New Haven, everyone knows that, but I can see this having an ancillary beneficial effect down through Fairfield County and also all the way out east to the border with Rhode Island and up north to the Hartford area. Have you taken that into account at all?
We have, right? We have one of the most underserved markets in the entire country. There's about 1 million people who live in what we refer to in our industry as a catchment area. And we believe that from northern Fairfield County to places like Old Saybrook and up to Middletown and Meriden and Rocky Hill, that is all in a place that people would say, gee, honey, let's take the kids to Florida. I read it's $59 a ticket and let's park down there and have the convenience that we don't have at other airports. That's kind of what we're going for, Paul. And I think if we can begin to offer more people like that more flights, I do believe that we're going to see a lot of success at the airport.
Sean, when do you envision the heavyweight construction getting underway and really starting to show at Tweed? And I would imagine that's in concert, you say, with a couple of steps that are still waiting to be okayed.
Yeah, we have to do an environmental assessment that we just started just this week, and it'll probably go for anywhere between 6 months to a year. Once that environmental assessment is done, we've sort of made sure that everything we're trying to do is in good standing with the wildlife and the wetlands, we can actually move forward on the design and construction of the runway and the new terminal, which we are hoping to get all done by fall of 2023. So 2 years from now would be our goal to have this work done.
Let's chat for a few minutes before we go back to open phones at 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Let's chat for a few minutes about redistricting both the State House and State Senate districts and the congressional districts. It happens in every state once every 10 years in the year after the census numbers come in. And he'll be a big part of the process. State House Republican leader Vin Candelora back with us of North Brantford. Vin, it's Paul here. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Vin, I'm getting on, Vin. That's all I can do. Get up out of bed in the morning,
yeah.
And it's a it's a good day. I ask for so little. But, Vin, we're into this process now that happens once every 10 years after the census numbers come in. To some extent, Vin, a lot of the boundaries in the state are going to be redrawn as far as the House and Senate and the congressional districts. Talk a little about the overall process. How is this done?
Yeah, I mean, this year we are delayed. Normally, we start much earlier in the spring, but the census data didn't come out until August. So what happens first is now that we have the data, we've set up public hearings around the state. We have one in Norwich, one in Hartford, one in Shelton, and then we are doing one virtually via Zoom where people could come in and testify, you know, on you know, how they think districts should be drawn, what considerations we should bring to play. The committee then will meet and try to draw a map. Now, normally that deadline is September 15th, which we're not going to achieve. And so because of that, it turns from being a committee of eight to a reapportionment committee, which becomes a committee of nine. So there'll be four Democrats, four Republicans, and then the ninth person will be selected among the eight. So typically it's sort of a nonpartisan activity and both sides need to, you know, work together on drawing these maps.
Now, Vin, when these maps are drawn, what is the approval process after that? Because I know in some past cycles, Vin, 10 and 20 years ago, it does get contentious sometimes, I remember, between one side and the other. How does the process work after that?
Yeah, it could. I mean, typically you hope that we have a map that everyone could agree and vote on by the end of November. If those maps are voted on, they become law, but they're subject, of course, to challenge by third parties. 10 years ago, the congressional map, I believe there was no agreement, and the commission ended up going to court. And the court essentially didn't want to get involved in the fight, and the commission had to come up with something on their own, and the current structure sort of stayed the way it was with that congressional map. But you know, you hope you're working together, and you could get a, you know, unanimous agreement because each side has equal representation.
State House Republican Leader Vin Candelora is with us. Vin, hang on. More on the redistricting proposals and process going forward. Back with Vin for more ahead, though. Traffic and weather together right here. 436 on WICC. And speaking of the city of Shelton, that's where I believe one public hearing is going to take place coming up this week regarding the redistricting proposals that members of the General Assembly will be looking at for the House and Senate, and also for the congressional districts. Republican House Leader Vin Candelora is with us. A few more minutes about that. Vin, I did have a question. Hearings at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, is that a... that's a little difficult for some people to get to, is it not?
It is. I mean, and that's why we did have some evening hearings. There's one at 7 o'clock in Hartford, and we do have the Zoom hearing.
Yeah.
It's been a challenge because certainly there are people that don't want to have public hearings. Some of the town halls are not available to us, so it's been a challenge.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And, Vin, another challenge that I know you guys and gals on the Republican side are going to have to face, and it happens every 10 years, Vin, big secret here. We are in a blue state, and I know the last time this was done 10 years ago and even 20 years ago, look, there is a push on the other side sometimes to hold their grip on power and to maybe move some of these boundaries, Vin, to, you know, make it tough for the GOP, at least in the present time, to win a congressional seat and also to, you know, take whatever advantage they can for both the House and Senate seats. And I would imagine that's a task that you, as the one of the two minority leaders, you and Kevin Kelly, have to be on the lookout for, that, you know, stuff is just not unfairly done, with a heavy hand here.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the one area, you know, for Connecticut, the good thing is that we don't have a partisan committee. So it's equally weighted among Republican and Democrats. So there really has to be some agreement. You know, the congressional map has certainly always been a bone of contention as of late. And, you know, frankly, those districts were drawn when Republicans held three of the five seats. And so some of that was carved out to make an even playing field, especially when Connecticut lost a congressional seat. But I do think, you know, we need to take a look at those districts and how they sort of do appear to have a weird gerrymandering to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the House and Senate seats are driven on really the characters of the communities and the data. You know, we saw a lot of growth in Stamford and Norwalk and New Haven. A lot of small towns, we've seen some reductions. And so it's going to be a challenge trying to redraw these districts and keeping, you know, each district representative of what they're meant to be.
Vin, will the committee be using any sort of computer modeling here? I know some states, Vin, I think in the Midwest there's one or two states that do this. You've seen some of these computer tools online with some of these publications. Will there be any of that at all, or is it just going to be, you know, a lot of good back and forth among people around a table here? Do you see any high tech use here?
We do, actually. We rely heavily on, you know, the computers and the data. You know, there is an attempt, especially in the urban settings, there are certain communities that might have a certain ethnic population that you want to make sure that they're represented through a district. So you might carve out districts that are representative of certain ethnic backgrounds. So you do look at that level of data. You also look at the history of a town. So maybe, you know, two communities might make sense to be joined, especially if they share a school district, things of that nature. So it really is... you look at it sort of globally, and then you really drill down on the particular data as well.
All right. State House, Minority Leader, Republican Leader Vin Candelora. Vin, we will keep an eye on this, and it should be interesting. Good luck at those public hearings, and we'll touch base along the way. Vin, thank you. As always, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Vin Candelora there. Well, there you go. So it's going to happen, folks. Starts in just a few days with some of those hearings at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, we're going to hold hearings, but they'll be at 1 o'clock. Well, don't people work at 1 o'clock? Yeah, they do. Don't people go to school at 1 o'clock? Yeah, they do. Okay.